Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be
good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to my new season of Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a show that discusses the complexity of women married to men who identify as gay, bisexual, and transgender to help them on their road from discovery to recovery. If you have any questions for my guests while we're live on the radio or even any time after that, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's BONKAYE at AOL.com. And I'll be happy to answer you or I'll be happy to forward the message to my guests. So welcome once again to tonight's episode. I can't believe that it's almost the end of February. And on the East Coast, I will tell you, it's been a beautiful winter. We've hardly had any kind of bad weather at all here. So looks like Philadelphia might be the place you want to go vacation next winter. But in the meantime, to keep the topics hot, even though it's cool in the winter here, we have a woman who's done some marvelous, marvelous things right now that I never thought could ever be done. And so I'd like to welcome my guest tonight of Linda Fagan. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Good. And we talked last year when you were just starting something that was very unique and very different. And something that I must say that I never believed could ever happen. So to me, you are amazing that you have come this far within a year of a lot of hard work and a lot of solicitation on behalf of straight wives. So maybe first you can introduce yourself a little bit and tell people a little bit about your story.
My name is Linda Fagan, and I live in Iowa. And after an extremely difficult divorce and long, long custody battles that have lasted about 9 years, I decided that I had had enough and I was going to try to prevent this from happening to other people. So I set out on a mission to do a lot of research. And over about 10-year period, I've kind of done research here and there thinking this could possibly happen. I followed the same-sex marriage case as close as I could so I could see what arguments they were using. And every time they said anything like they want someone by their bedside that they love when they're dying or whatever it was that they were claiming, I went, yeah, me too. And throughout the process, I researched a lot of legal aspects of marriage fraud. I found a few similarities in some laws that we could maybe mirror, like immigration marriage fraud. There was another one I found today. I can't remember what it was called, though, but it was a fraudulent marriages that are actually on the law books right now. And so I spoke with a Iowa U.S. senator, and I called his office. I told him what my idea was. They showed some interest, and they offered to help me to understand how to write a bill proposal. While they didn't write the bill proposal or help me with any content, they told me what was needed in a proposal, and they sent me to one of their aides in Iowa. And so a gal helped me to learn how to write the proposals. I don't think she ever reviewed it herself, but when I got done, she told me that I was welcome to use Senator Grassley's name to drop a bug in people's ear to see if I could get some interest in this bill. So they allowed me to use his name drop, which worked really well. I first started with a couple of Republican senators and asking them if they'd be interested in helping me to establish a law that would require people to identify their sexual orientation on a marriage certificate. It sparked some interest. I had several senators from Iowa that they didn't tell me no, so I got a little bit hopeful. And I decided to continue on down the path, and I talked to a couple Democrat politicians, and one of them was the majority leader in the Iowa House, or Senate at the time, Senator Gronstahl, and I was very optimistic because he actually supported my idea. So I thought, well, maybe we have a bipartisan issue, but then he got voted out. So that was kind of disappointing to find out that the one Democrat who had the control, who actually supported this because it had happened to someone very dear and close to him and his family. So he understood what the plight was, and he was for full disclosure. With all of that said, I did a lot of research, and I discovered that there were some laws on the books that were kind of similar to what we were doing, but they didn't apply to our situation specifically. So sexual orientation marriage fraud is what we're kind of coining it. Or fraudulent concealment of sexual orientation. So the law itself is very simple. People would be required to identify their sexual orientation on a marriage certificate. You would have to put down heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, transgender, other, or undecided. I can't remember exactly. I think it's undecided or other, and you can specify your specific orientation. And then if it can be proven that someone falsified the information on their marriage certificate, it gets classified under a category called fraudulent concealment of sexual orientation. Fraudulent concealment is already a law that has for a long time. And fraudulent concealment.
I'm sorry, what was that again? That's already a law, Linda?
It's called fraudulent concealment. It's used in other aspects of the law. So fraudulent concealment is when someone conceals information that the other party had a right to know, that they had no way of knowing without being told, and they intended to deceive the person of something. So it can be applied to different aspects, such as con man, you know, not telling someone that they're going to use the money for a pyramid scheme or something like that. That's fraudulent concealment, when you're concealing information the other party had a right to know. And there was no other way for them to obtain that information without full disclosure. So that law already exists. So we're talking about combining some laws that already exist. In Iowa, you already identify your sexual orientation on a marriage certificate, but it's optional. It's not required. So there's a few things that will probably have to take place. Like they'll have to take the application process itself. separate it from the marriage license and make the application confidential so that people can't just randomly go and get your marriage license and say what your sexual orientation is. So we would keep that a confidential form. Hopefully, I think that's what they're going to, they're intending to do. And then if it gets, if you can prove that this person intentionally deceived you, then that will open it up so that we can use that information in a custody case. The reason the custody case comes into play is because right now, sexual orientation cannot be used in custody. So while we're not really trying to address sexual orientation directly, we're trying to address the fraud that goes in these fraudulent marriages, we're not able to. And so our legal system has kind of a little glitch, a little hiccup, where we can't discuss the full content of our marriage and how it unraveled or how it affects the children. And so that's what the law pretty much entails. It's pretty simple, really. It's required to self-disclose to the people that need to know. And we also, I'm hoping, but they haven't said anything about this right now, we're hoping that they will classify it as a crime against the state as well as the injured party. And then at some point, we are hoping that this brings about prevention. We're not trying to punish people or hurt people. We are trying to prevent people who know that their sexual orientation, what it is, and that they're lying about it. We're trying to prevent that. So ultimately what happened was I managed to get an Iowa senator to listen to me at length. And he's a very nice man. His name is Senator Dennis Goose. And he has taken a tremendous amount of time to talk to me on the phone. And he decided to move forward with it this year. So he wrote, he actually wrote the bill last year. So kind of got introduced, the idea got introduced a little bit, nudge here or there, but it didn't go anywhere. This year, it actually made it to subcommittee. And we are waiting to hear when the hearing is, but it has to be done no later than the 21st. So we will know by Friday if this is actually going to take some, you know, footage are going to take some root and grow. At least we're going to get the first hearing, which is more than we've ever probably had ever before. I know that there's a few laws on the law books, like in Canada. In Canada, I believe you can use this these fraudulent marriages. You can at least address it in a fault divorce. Some lady in Canada worked very hard to move legislation along to get it allowed in court. I also know that there were some civil cases in California that took place where a straight spouse sued her ex-husband and actually won. I think she won quite a substantial settlement. So this is not something that is original by any means. Every law, everything that I did for this process came from another idea. The only thing that was original was identification on the marriage license. And the reason that I picked that was because that's the origin, that's the moment in time when both parties are joined together by the state in a legal manner. It's a moment in time when the fraud actually takes place in a legal aspect. And so that's why the marriage license came to me. I thought, well, if we can identify and establish in that very moment what they claim, then nobody will get blamed saying, oh, you knew about it. Because that was one of the things that I heard has happened to a lot of people. Fingers get pointed. She knew all along. It was all her fault. She did this willingly. It's almost like it's a reverse discrimination. And then that brought in, that was one thing that actually gets brought into the argument for this bill, is that the LGBT are minorities. A minority cannot discriminate against someone else and deprive them of something they normally would be entitled to. And in my view, I can see how the reverse discrimination law, which is what they would be doing if they deprived a heterosexual, of the right to a traditional marriage or the right to be a full-time parent, if they're taking something from you fraudulently, then that is discrimination. And the reverse discrimination law, I hope, will be applied to this. So there's lots of different parts, moving parts. There's also lots of different legal aspects. One of the things in Iowa is that children laws, one of the fears is that the minority status will affect the decision on this, that we'd be singling out a minority, asking them for something that they normally wouldn't have to provide because it's confidential information. However, and I'm not a lawyer, so everything I've done or researched comes from help from other lawyers. I've talked about 8 different lawyers, just trying to understand the laws. But the LGBT can't discriminate. It's reverse discrimination if they deprive us of something we normally would be entitled to. And they are going to try to argue that we are singling them out and that it's a violation of their privacy. However,
Linda, is it really singling them out when you have on the application heterosexual also? I mean, it's not like you're just saying, are you gay or not? You're giving, what is your sexual orientation, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual?
Right. The lawyers did tell me, yes, they could apply that. However, right to privacy laws only apply when no one else has a vested interest. And in my opinion, a straight spouse certainly has a vested interest. And so does the state, quite frankly, and the federal government when there's benefits that they're receiving that they wouldn't normally have. So we're going to testify at a hearing soon, and hopefully I can do justice to the straight spouses and bring about some change. So that's kind of what the law is. It's called SF-2130. If you want to read about it, you can go to our website. It's called fairmarriage.net and go to the latest news, and we'll keep you up to date throughout the whole process how things are going. We also have a Facebook page called Fair Marriage Foundation. You can go like us on there and follow along and see what the legislation is. So that's the legislation part. Do you have any questions about it?
I would like to just say a few things and, you know, see if we can make some more sense out of this. So I was reading an article that Iowa Republicans compare fraudulent sexual orientation to domestic abuse.
Right.
All about your bill. And it says, under Senate bill, coming out as gay would be worse than leaving kids alone with a sex offender. I don't know where they're coming up with that, because that's not what this is about at all.
Who wrote that?
Right?
Is that the Des Moines?
Okay, this is from the staff columnist at the Gazette.
Yeah, February 13th. I would recommend everybody contact Al Sullivan about that. And tell him exactly what you think of his comments, because he is he's an opinion columnist. He's not a fact columnist. He doesn't write for newspapers.
I can't quite hear you right now.
He's an opinion writer. He's not a fact checker, or he's not a classic reporter that would report on facts. His job is to give his opinion. And that's all that is.
Uh-huh.
He has not done his homework whatsoever to determine what that law does. So ultimately, I am not 100% sure about the specifics, but in Iowa, under the divorce clause, there's a section where there's things that can be addressed for custody, and it gets bracketed together. And domestic abuse falls in that category, but it's not comparing it to domestic abuse, although in some cases it's extremely abusive, and I would say
I don't even understand what the problem with that is, to be honest with you, because here it says, according to this Adam Sullivan at Liberty, State Senator Dennis Guth from Republican from Clime is sponsoring Senate File 2130, which would require Iowans applying for a marriage license to disclose their sexual orientation. It's one of several bills introduced in the Iowa legislature this year seeking to limit protections for LGBTQ Iowans. Now, what I don't understand to even start with is that how does that limit protections? to them, to the LGBTQ Iowans. I don't understand what that means that he's saying. And he says, under the proposal, fraudulent concealment of sexual orientation, quote unquote, is likened to a domestic abuse. Well, first of all, let me say this. It is a from my perspective, it is domestic abuse. It says, lying about your sexuality as determined by the state would be considered as a key factor in custody proceedings when a marriage is dissolved. So it's okay. Iowa's child custody law has a strong preference for joint custody, but domestic abuse shall outweigh consideration of any other factor in the code.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think what this is really about, Linda, and you can either agree or disagree with me, when you go into these marriages and you are misled and you are thinking that, you know, traditional marriage and you're going to have a shot at living happily ever after, raising children, grandchildren, a family unit, a man who loves you, a man who puts you ahead of everything else, only turns out to be totally a fraud because he knew ahead of time that he was gay and decided he's going to marry you anyway, then it is to me, because the way these men act, so many of them in these marriages are abusive because they're very frustrated, understandably, because they're gay men in a straight marriage, regardless of the fact that they're the ones who got you there to start with because they wanted to marry you. But the bottom line is they don't want to be married to you. So they do become abusive in many cases. And I do liken that with, you know, domestic abuse because many of them become abusive partners, either emotionally. I'm not saying they are beating you all. You know, some women have physical abuse. But certainly at least emotionally, when they take away your sense of who you are, when they take away your, you know, sense of being a woman, when they make you, they call it gaslighting, I call it gay lighting, making you think that you're crazy, that all these things you're seeing, you know, it's you, that you're the one who's psychotic and you're crazy, that none of these, and they manipulate this in such a way that, you know, you start thinking yourself, maybe I am crazy, maybe I am seeing things, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Because when you live with somebody who every day beats down on you all this information, that's how you become. So to me,
and the
problem
with our Iowa laws right now is none of that can be introduced because at all, the gaslighting, none of that, you can't introduce that because you can't tell the whole story because it's considered discrimination because of sexual orientation. And that's not okay.
Well, that's the whole problem. Exactly. When you go to court, you cannot bring up gay as a reason for anything. You know, when they have especially no-fault marriage that you can't use anything as a fault, you know, that really prohibits you from rightfully being even acknowledged as being a victim of any kind. So I think the fact that people need to be accountable, you know, and I've brought this subject up to you a number of times, but, you know, we'll just talk about this honestly. You know, I said to you the problem that I see with this, not with the bill itself, but, you know, why it would be objected to is because people are going to say, well, I didn't know I was gay when I was getting married. However, you have done a lot of research, and so have I. And we see it all the time how people say they always knew from the time they were young that they were gay.
All
they
the
always
time.
Knew
we
they had attractions to the same sex.
Say that. Yep.
Right?
All the time.
Right. So maybe, you know, you don't want to say in your head, well, I knew I was gay. Maybe you thought it was just attractions. But whatever it is, what's wrong in saying you have to be honest about it? And why shouldn't the other person have a choice if you have knowledge of something? Right?
That's exactly right. And right now, I don't think the legal system would even consider it like a bad thing. I mean, they have not been educated because, first of all, you can't introduce it in court. So the judges haven't been educated about how abusive these situations actually are. We don't have counselors that are addressing this in the proper fashion. They're addressing this from the, oh, poor gay guy perspective, when really they need to be addressing this as a pathological liar that's dealing with a very abusive relationship. When you talk gaslighting, that happens a lot. One of the most common things I have heard in my journey from injured wives is they feel like they've been raped. Over and over again, I have seen that on my journey. And if a counselor can't address these things and give us some kind of support, that this should be allowed in our custody cases, then we have to get some counselors behind this so that they can look at this from an objective point of view that has nothing to do with the LGBT. They need to look at the straight spouses for the people that they are. They're being abused, and it's not okay. And so we need to be able to address this in a court of law. And the way the senators worded this, I'm extremely pleased. This is not how I had approached it. The senators came up with this, being able to use it for custody. It was not quite how I had worded it, but I don't know if they interpreted that way or saw a better way than what I had originally done. The more I thought about it, the more happy I am, because there may be some straight spouses who have really solid relationships with their former husbands who are gay, and they may choose not to pursue this, and then they'd have that option. But at least the ones that need to will have the option too. And so they've literally taken control and put it in the straight spouse's hands, so they can at least address this if they have the proof in court to do so.
And
so
also, guess what? It can work on behalf of the gay parents also, because let's say somebody goes into a marriage and he says, theoretically, he identifies himself as bisexual. Well, if the wife wants to marry him and he says he's bisexual, then she can't use that against him because he's already been honest about it. So at least she has the advantage of knowing. Now, I say maybe she doesn't understand what bisexual really means, or maybe his bisexuality will turn into homosexuality, as it often does. But at least if you know ahead of time, you know what to look for, you know what to beware of. And in that case, the gay parent would have nothing to be held against him because he was already honest. Is that correct?
Yes, right, exactly. It is not about their sexual orientation. It's about lying about their sexual orientation. The whole law is about fraud, not about somebody being gay. It has nothing, or being a good parent, or whether or not it makes them a good parent. It has to do with the con, the lie, the fraud, the manipulation, the abuse.
We're not hearing you as well, Linda.
It has to do with the con, the lie, the abuse, all the fraud that goes into these marriages that we can't even address the court. That's what it's about. It's about being fair to everyone. And the fact that people are intentionally doing this. All you have to do is turn on the TV. They just had another, I don't know if he's that Scofield or whatever his name is, Philip Scofield. He came out and said he knew he was gay for 27 years. All of the time in his marriage, he couldn't say to his wife, I'm sorry, but I think you should go and find someone who loves you. I mean, he couldn't, and I don't believe for one second he was faithful and honest to his wife. I'm sure if he was gay for 27 years, he practiced his had relationships outside of his marriage. I don't believe that he was faithful. I don't believe that they want to be, you know. And she should be allowed to at least address that if she were going. And now you can address sexual orientation in other aspects of court, just not custody. So you can actually
What other aspects can you discuss it?
Well, you can discuss it in, attorney fees. For awarding attorney fees, we were able to, you know, bring it into a court case then. But I don't know what the difference is or why it matters, what the specific issue is, but I believe it has specifically to do with child custody, which is where it should be the most important thing.
Well, once again, I mean, I just feel that being aware of what's happening when you're getting married or being aware of someone's sexual orientation. I mean, look, it's no guarantee that it's going to be a happy marriage or a happy life because you may not understand it, but at least you have a chance to know what's going on. So instead of feeling personal rejection all the time, maybe you can say, well, I'm feeling this way because he is rejecting me because he's gay. You know, I still chose to marry him. I was hoping that he could change. I was hoping he'd love me enough. Because we don't necessarily understand homosexuality when we get married either, or even when we get older, thinking that something can be controlled, and it can't be.
Yeah, and studies show that now. I mean, we can have a lot of things proven now, but here's the other thing. You talked about gaslighting, and you talk about the manipulation and the lies. Well, there are children that are being gaslighted and manipulated and lied to right along with their other parent, and it is startling that we can't even address it. That is shocking to me that we can't even address that our children are living through those lies too. And if they think that it's not affecting them, I can honestly tell you from my own personal experience that I suffered from a tremendous amount of confusion, psychosis. It was really scary what was going on because I was being severely gaslighted.
And that's not to say there aren't good gay fathers, good gay husbands. You know, there are families that can reunite as a family, even if they're not living under the same roofs. I mean, there are some really good family units out there that have been able to be honest with each other, readjust to things. You know, I always tell gay men, you need to be responsible to your wives. Tell them the truth. Tell them that they had nothing to do with this. Tell them they have no fault here. It's their fault that they can't live with a woman because they're gay, and the woman shouldn't have to keep blaming herself. And that does happen from time to time, but then the other situation, like mine and yours, also happens a lot, where women are not respected, where men resent the fact they have to keep giving support to a family because they felt trapped in a marriage that they didn't belong in to start with, and blame us for their misery, and then they're not very nice, and they continue to be abusive long after the marriage is over. Some of them just try to control you, right?
Right, and one of the things that you use is the court system, and that was one of my arguments to these senators was, you know, if someone is going to use the legal system to commit this kind of fraud, they are legally binding this to them until our children are adults. You can take a relationship that's been a 7-year marriage that has a 1-year-old when they get divorced, and you're looking at a minimum of 25 years that spouse is legally connected to the person who has committed this fraud. And there is literally no legal recourse for it. We have no legal say whatsoever. And believe me, I've searched high and low. The closest thing I ever came up to was what's called abusive process. But my goal with this whole thing was not to punish. It is to prevent. I think, my personal opinion, is that if they can make this law so strict that no one will even dare do it again, I will be the happiest person you could even imagine. I think that they need to make sure that they have made their statement saying this is fraud and we're not going to let you abuse people. That's what I hope, but we will see. I don't know. When you're legally connected to someone and they can take you to court anytime and they're angry and they're not wanting you to discuss what's going on and they punish you when you do, then when they use the legal system to do it, it becomes even more abuse because not only are you dealing with the court system again, but now you're dealing with the attorney fees and the children caught in the middle and everything else that comes with a court case. I mean, counselors and mediators and guardian ad litem, and the list can go on and on when a court case, mental evaluations, and you name it, it can go on and on forever. Court cases that have this kind of emotional conflict are not helpful.
Sorry, we're losing you.
So court cases that are, you know, have that kind of emotional conflict are not healthy for anyone. So children especially can feel it. Even if, I don't care who you are, there isn't going to be a single psychologist out there that says a child caught in the middle is not affected because they are. I mean, there is no way you can have a court case between two people and that child not be impacted by it. And it happens all the time.
And I think that's true. I mean, you know, I think marriage under the best of circumstances is not easy. But these circumstances are not even in the ballpark because they don't work. I mean, people can pretend and people can act, but these marriages do not work. They are not the role model picture that you want to give your own children for their futures. I mean, people can stay together, so I like to differentiate between staying together and having a marriage work. because just because you stay with somebody, two people living in a home, does not mean the marriage is working. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And there are some relationships. This is what's startling to me. When I very first started my journey, I called the Straight Spouse Network. And they told me that there is a distinct pattern of abuse that comes from this ending of a relationship. And it is that the straight spouse, or the perpetrator, has become extremely abusive. They said that that's a pattern. And if that can be documented, then that we can present that in a court case and prove that this is not healthy for children to be around. But throughout my journey, I have discovered that there are straight spouses that come from all walks of life. There's straight spouses that are Democrats and Republicans, and they're rich and they're poor and they're famous and they're never been known by anybody. They are religious, they're atheists, they do not have a demographic. There's nothing specific to identify them. It is everywhere and everyone. And I think that tells us that this stigma really has nothing. One of the most common threads is that they blame their religious institutions for forcing them to do this. However, that part of it tells you it's not a religious issue. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with their own self-worth or something. I don't know. You're better at this than I am, but it has to do with something that they just can't accept about themselves. And they take it out on other people.
I do understand it. So I like to be really clear on that, because I understand people in a world where, you have opportunities. Being gay, there's still a lot of discrimination in spite of our own personal experiences of a gay husband, which I wouldn't count in as part of this. But in general, gay people do suffer because people do discriminate against them. So if they have the opportunity not to be gay, I can understand why they would want to take it. They think that, they can fool Mother Nature, but they can't. That doesn't work. But on the other hand, I understand that they suffer, but you don't bring somebody into it with you. I look at all the gay men in this world who are honest about themselves and who know that they're gay, and they don't want to bring somebody down with them. At least they have the courtesy, even if they don't want to be openly gay and let the world know, they don't have to find some woman to marry and to, try to be whatever world they want to live in when it's not fair to her, knowing that you're attracted to men. So
yeah.
I don't think this is a discrimination at all. I think this is about what I call fair play. That, people
exactly
be honest about somebody. This is not like a little white lie, as they like to call it. Like, for instance, you were a smoker and now you don't smoke. So, okay, so somebody can say, I don't want to be bothered with somebody who doesn't want to smoke. And you can say, well, I don't smoke. I've never smoked. Okay, so that's a lie. But it's not a lie that's going to make or break the relationship. It's not going to be the kind of lie where, now you found out he was a smoker. How does that impact your relationship? This is not like that. This is when somebody's totally a different sexuality than you are, then you have the right to know. I mean, this is what it's about. Giving straight wives an equal chance, to make better decisions than they're making because they don't know the truth.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality for me.
It is the second aspect of that, though, isn't just the right to know. It's also education about what the red flags actually are, because until we get this where we're at, we literally are going to have to just go pick the fight, because if we don't pick the fight, if we don't stand up and say, no, we're not going to let you do this to us anymore. If we don't do that, then future generations are going to get blindsided with this the same way this generation has. We need to educate people. We need to bring about awareness. We need to make sure that everyone is on a fair playing field, because right now the lie is so easy to tell. It is so easy for someone to say, nope, I'm heterosexual. He's just my best friend. you know, he's just my neighbor next to, didn't live next door. We just went out for drinks, or we just went out for this, or, you know, it's a very easy lie for a straight spouse to believe. They, you know, they don't have to work too hard to deceive you. And so, but at the same time, and I've heard you say this on your show, somewhere in there, there's always a sense that the straight spouse knows something's just not quite right. Is that a pretty common trait that you're experiencing on your journeys? I mean, is that something that's normal?
I think that a lot of times people are just so confused by this situation because we don't understand homosexuality. And the fact is that, you know, my concerns are that even if somebody claims they're gay before, you know, they're married, a lot of women will have no idea what that means. That they'll think that it's, they can change around, turn around, and that everything's going to be fine. But at least if it's not, then they're going to know why. So that's my whole point. If you think that somebody has a past or somebody, you know, is gay, because once again, gay is not something that's, gay is a fluent kind of thing. Gay is just not going away. It's there. So, you know, the point is that at least if somebody's told ahead of time, yes, I have these thoughts or I have these feelings or yes, I've acted on it before and I can change, I love you enough, I'm going to change, even no matter what they say and you believe it, at least when it's not changing, you realize that it's not you. And then at least you have the truth to work with, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how would that reflect on what, you know, like my position? See, we have a spot on the marriage license where they're going to actually be able to say undecided or confused. I mean, they're going to literally be able to say,
that's
I
fine.
Made this
Guess what?
Decision.
That's fine. Because still in all, it shows that there's something different there. Doesn't matter if you're still confused. If you're confused, that's good because, you know, at least you're admitting that you have doubts in your mind. And at least when you're marrying somebody with doubts in your mind, at least in your head, you know that, okay, if something goes wrong, it wasn't me. It was him. Right?
Do you have any statistic on how many – because I do know that there are some people who claim that they've – change their sexual orientation from heterosexual to from homosexual to heterosexual. Now there are people that actually make that claim and they believe that. And is there any statistics that tells you what percentage of people actually do that, that they actually change their sexual orientation back to heterosexual? Is there a statistic
I've read a lot of reports on, I've read a lot of studies on this from people who are part of the XX gay movement. They were gays, and they became ex-gays, and they became gays again, then another XX-gay. You know, they try it. They tell people it can work if you try hard enough. But in the end, it is what it is. It's not changing. Now, I know people who they withdraw from homosexual activity. I have met three men in 35 years who I really do believe that they are not acting on their homosexual needs, and that's just ones I've met. There might be more out there, so I don't want to make it like it's just me. There might be many more out there who have feelings, but they're not acting on them. But as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't mean that you're straight. It means that you're abstaining from acting on your homosexual needs. And in that case, I sometimes compare it to an alcoholic. There are alcoholics who do recover, but they're what they call dry alcoholics. I don't know if you're familiar with that terminology.
Oh, yeah.
And that means that even they're not drinking, they still have a lot of the same symptoms of how they were emotionally while they were drinking, and they take it out on you. And the same thing here. I call it dry gaze. They may not be acting on their homosexuality. Well, that's my terminology. But, you know, they may not be acting on it because they're abstaining from it. And that's why I say no men who do that. But they're still not happy. I mean, they may love you to the best of their ability, which is most likely like a sister or a cousin, but they're not treating you the way a woman needs to be treated, and they're still resenting the fact that they're unhappy, thinking that you're at fault and has nothing to do with you. So, but I think at least if you go into these marriages with some knowledge that something could be wrong, that instead of internalizing, like I know I did, and I'm sure you did too, Linda, wondering where am I going wrong, always thinking that, you know, that it must be my fault, that I'm not a good enough wife, like our husbands would tell us, or looking to find fault with us all the time. So that's why I say it's, you know, a matter that at least this way we would have some idea why the marriage isn't working. So you would, at least a woman would have a choice. I mean, if a man's honest about his sexuality, we're not saying you can't marry him, but at least give the woman the choice whether you want to really marry
yes.
somebody who's like this. I don't think that's discrimination.
Exactly,
I think that's a decent thing to do, right?
I do too, exactly. And that's exactly what the law is. It's just full disclosure. We're not asking you to not marry. It's not against the law. We say if you want to
right.
marry a man who claims to be homosexual and you're heterosexual, if you're okay with that, it's not against the law. What is against the law is lying about it. Is that, that's what our goal is to prevent it from happening by giving them some kind of consequence that they don't want to do it anymore. Because over and over and over again, I heard of people come across the TV, Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres and you name it, every talk show on the planet, everywhere had a person come across saying, I knew when I got married that I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it, and they repeatedly say that. Ellen DeGeneres' wife was married to a man, and she came out on Good Morning America and said, I knew I was a lesbian when I married him.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew it, and she didn't disclose that. And so that has happened so many times, it just becomes really obvious that, wow, maybe if they know, and they also know, and that's the other thing about the law, we're going to, I hope that they will require the clerk to specifically say, if you are lying on this marriage license, these are your consequences. Are you okay with this? So they're like giving full consent to what will happen if they are found out to be lying. So
mm-hmm.
we're hoping that they will do that so that it's very, very clear and no one can say they didn't understand the law. So, one thing I want to do before
nope.
we are done here is I want to ask anybody out there that could possibly take some time to contact our legislators that are going to be in the committee hearing this week. If you could contact them, you can go to our website and find out who they are and just give them some support, especially Dennis Goose. Iowa Senator Dennis Goose. He has been very, very brave because he immediately got attacked. But he did this because he took the time to listen. He didn't dismiss me, and he considered what I was saying from the heart. He didn't just blindly do this. It took him several years to consider doing it. And I think he was very brave because he knew ahead of time that he was going to get persecuted by the LGBT if he did this. And that's exactly what's
okay.
going to happen. Right now, we have every LGBT lobbyist group in Iowa filed as against our bill. Iowa One Action, Iowa Safe Schools. Iowa Safe Schools is about bullying. I think that the straight wives need to educate them what bullying really is. Because we are being bullied. And they want to talk about bullying. They need to completely go full circle and discuss both sides. So if they can get on the Iowa legislators' website, they can see who's lobbying against it, or just get on our website, go to the latest news. I posted everybody that's against it. You can contact them all. Anybody who wants to contact anybody from the Des Moines Register, that would be really great. Because they opposed this bill publicly, and they weren't accurate in their report on what it actually is. And I can't think of anybody else. Adam Sullivan from the Gazette. I already talked to him, and now he wants an interview with me, but he won't answer any of my questions in writing, so I've declined to interview with him. Fox News has agreed, or at least are considering interviewing me after the first hearing. So hopefully that we will get an accurate report out there that says what this bill really does. So that it's really about
full
disclosure.
So now I'm on your website. And
okay.
when I sign in, it says Fair Marriage Foundation. Now, where am I going to find the names of the people to write to?
Okay, under Other. Down there should be a thing that says latest news.
Okay. Okay, let's see where latest news is. I'm looking for the latest news, but I don't see that either.
Okay, if you're on the home, go back to the homepage.
I'm on the homepage.
Scroll down a little bit. It says find out more. Click on that little button.
Family.
And it will take you. Click on it. It should take you to latest news.
Okay. Well, I won't take up your time with that, but I'll try to look for that. Like the FMPC informed May Day more under more.
Yes, under more.
Okay, and what am I looking for under more?
Latest news.
Latest news. At the bottom, I see latest news. And now I see for a Fair Marriage Foundation will do its best. Okay, Senate file, bill proposal.
Right.
Keep going.
And then if you keep going down, you'll see, I'll post on there every day that something happens. I will post the date that it happened and what has transpired. And I am posting, if you see where it says lobbyist declaration, that'll tell you who's all against us, like Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, of all people are lobbying against us.
Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah, United Methodist Church. There's all of those. Well, and then there's a couple of lawyers. I think the rest are kind of waiting until they see what happens before they put their name on there. But there's a lot of lobbyists that aren't listed yet. So I don't know where that will go. But those are the ones right now. Iowa One Action is a LGBT group. Iowa Safe Schools LGBT. They're almost every single one of them on there except for the ACLU, which are very LGBT friendly. And Planned Parenthood. I don't know what they have any business in there at all, but if you want
to. Well, no, I'm just looking to find who we write to. Where do we find that?
I would write to the three senators that are going to have the committee hearing. It's Annette Sweeney.
Like, do you have their addresses on here?
No, but I can put them on there when I get home.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'll have them on there within an hour.
Yeah, and I think make them clearly visible for people to find them. Because I'll be happy to write to all of
them.
I'm sure a lot of people will be happy to write.
Just anybody. If they do it by tomorrow, it'd be even greater because we've got a very short window of opportunity to get information to them. One of the things, if you want to share information about how it's affected your family, your children specifically, that will help.
Also, people have to realize that this is such a major, major accomplishment from Linda. I have to really praise her. We met probably about 2 years ago on the phone. About 2 years ago, would you say, Linda?
I think it's been longer than that.
Maybe a little longer than that. Yeah, Linda was really pissed at me. I didn't really care.
I
just don't want to talk to her anyway. She didn't like my attitudes on some of the ways I stand, but I said, I'm not going to let this woman get away with that. She's going to be forced to talk to me and listen. So even though we didn't agree on everything, and we don't, but we agree on more than we disagree on. And most importantly, she's such a great advocate for the straight wives that I admire her courage. She's had a lot going against her because, you know, people are not happy with this bill. And yet, it's the best thing that could ever happen for us, the fact that straight wives are acknowledged as a group worthy of respect and being listened to and people taking us seriously instead of ignoring us and just hoping that we're going to go away. And while many of us are standing back, you have been the leader in this whole thing, and you get every bit of respect that I have for you, Linda. So I really, on behalf of so many others, appreciate what you're doing because you are out there fighting for us when nobody else out there has a voice that's loud enough to make a difference. I'm really hoping that your voice will be the one that'll start a campaign to acknowledge all of us and what we go through.
It just really, really is Senator Goose. He just took the time so patiently to talk to me, even through the tears. He listened to me cry on the phone. He has been such a big support, and it really is because of him that we're getting any kind of PR at all. If it wasn't for him, everybody would be still sitting there waiting for someone to do something. And I think he's the hero. He's the one that's going to take the brunt of this, not me. And
mm-hmm.
I think everybody, even if this doesn't go anywhere, he's tried, and hopefully we can keep him trying and keep other senators to move forward with it. So send him a note. Tell him thank you. You know, let him know that you're out there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. I know that as soon as you told me, I wrote him a letter thanking him for at least acknowledging the pain that we go through, that we want some justice done or some, you know, fair play here, where straight wives are really not given the considerations that, you know, what really burns me up is these no-fault marriage divorce laws when there is fault. And there is fault when you marry a gay man, why your marriage didn't work out, because he's gay and you're straight. And yet he is not held accountable for that. They always make it's a no fault, that sexuality is not a reason for fault. And I'm really sorry, I totally disagree with that. I'm not against gay people, as people know me. They know that I believe in gay rights. I'll stand up and fight for them every minute. But I'm also fighting for straight rights. It can't just be one way. It has to be both ways. You have to be fair to the straight spouse. You have to realize she's not the reason the marriage didn't work out. If you have a gay husband, that's why your marriage didn't work out. So at least compensate the wife. Don't make it like the wife's equally responsible for the marriage not working. No, the wife has nothing to do with the marriage not working. You're a gay man in a straight marriage. That's why it's not working. Would you say that's true?
Yes. It's never going to work. A relationship like that cannot work. It's not physically possible. Even my church will tell you that's not a marriage. My church would acknowledge this as a fraudulent marriage. They require that you have full disclosure when you get married. They ask you when you get married, and they expect you to be honest. And I don't think that they would marry you if someone said one party was homosexual and one party was heterosexual. I think they would hesitate. And I think every church would say, well, nope, wait a minute. If this is what you have decided, you need to know these facts before we even perform this marriage. I think judges need to do it. I think churches need to do it. I think everybody, every counselor on the planet needs to do that. But if there is a question, if someone's questioning that, there should be no marriage taking place. At least each party should be so thoroughly informed as to what is going to happen that they really have to take responsibility for their choices. If they make the choice to continue after they've been informed, then it's their decision. But at least we should be informed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why
our
slogan on our website is inform the spouses before it's too late. I want to put that on every bumper, on every point. You know, I just think that we should just get the word out that that's what we're doing. And I, one of the other things I did was I decided to use the rainbow because I thought, you know, that represents the LGBT, but these are their children, and it should represent them too. And so the rainbow is going to be a little confusing once we get our cause out there in public, because it shouldn't be just for them. It should be for their children, the ex-spouses that have suffered, and put a rainbow on something, then who's going to know who it belongs to? I just think that we need to look at this not just from the straight spouse's perspective either, but from the children's perspective too. And if there's children out there that support this, we'd like to hear from them. Send me a note. Get on my website.
Yes, and if you want Linda's information, you can write to me, and I'll be happy to forward any email to her. And also, you can go to her website at fairmarriage.net.
Yep.
Fairmarriage.net. And like I say, go there, visit, read, and learn. Linda, our time is over, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest tonight. And I hope people will support you in this endeavor to get things moving. And I really stand up and tip my hat to you. I really admire everything
you're
doing.
Well, you've worked.
All right, so Linda will come back to us later on in the season and give us an update on how she's making out, right, Linda?
You bet.
You know how she loves
volunteering
you?
What's that?
And we'll do an update. So to all of our listeners, have a wonderful week. Love to all of you, and we'll be back next week. Good night now.
All right.
Good night, Linda.
Good night. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.